The Promised Land was so close that the Israelites, standing on the banks of the River Jordan, could see it. But in the spring flood season, the river was roaring and more than a mile wide. And after 3 days of waiting, it became apparent that there was no way they were going to be able to cross. In the life of the church, there are times when we, as the body of Christ, are called forward. And when we're called to step out in faith, even as the water continues to rise and the path forward looks impassable. When we're called to move as a group, as a family, to live fully into what we are designed to be. Our journey started long ago from their example. We carry those ties up to our history with us as reminders of God's grace, of His love, of His goodness. Now, just like in the past, we're outgrowing who we once were and growing more fully into the followers Christ has called to transform our community. Just like the Israelites on the banks of the Jordan, we're being called to something bigger. Something better, to cross together into what awaits us. And we won't be alone. God's words are clear. I will be with you. That promise held true in the past, and it holds true for us, both now and into the future. Sometimes our faith requires that we wait, but the calling here is clear. Now is the time to move. It's one generation's time to make sacrifices for the sake of the next. Now it's our turn to move out in faith. Join us in our next step.
Good morning. I wanted to remind you where we've been and how we got here. Next week, we're going to be dedicating a new building that is the fruition of so many prayers and so much sacrifice and so much leaning on the Spirit and trusting Him. And I don't want us to miss celebrating that the God who called us forward has been faithful. Amen? Amen. Welcome to Park Street. We're so grateful that you're worshiping with us here. In the middle of Eastertide, we are actually wrapping up the season of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus in the middle of a sermon series called The Turning of the Tide. And it's Mother's Day, and so we're so grateful for the women who have been prayer warriors for us, who have nurtured us, who have loved us so well. Thank you for all that you do to help steward us to be the family of God. I read online that the day in the year in which there's the least amount of crimes is Mother's Day. This shows you the power of Mother's Day, that moms are so selfless that they interrupt what they are normally doing, namely committing heinous crimes, to allow others to celebrate them. You guys just keep on giving. I read that online, and then I fact-checked it, and then I found that that claim that Mother's Day is the lowest day of crime is made up. So just like your lackluster gift for your mom today, it's the thought that counts. So normally when I preach, we start with the main text, and then we kind of talk about and exposit and try to glean some insights from the Holy Spirit. But today, we're going to spend a little time before we get to the main text. So I'm just begging your patience. We're going to get there. We're going to talk about some other scripture first, but then we'll return to John 14, where we left off last week. Okay, so we're going to get there. And you might be thinking, wow, this pastor, what an innovator. He saves the text until the end. What will he think of next? I want to start with this question. What reminds you of home? What are the sights and the sounds and the flavors? What makes you think of home? For me, home is the taste of sweet corn. Home is catching fireflies in the evening. Home is this sound for me. Do you know what that is? That is the sound of spring peepers. Those are little frogs. And I grew up alongside the Muskingum River, and every time I drove home in the summertime with the windows down, I could hear that sound. What about you? What is the sights and sounds of home? Somebody share something.
The beach.
The beach is home. Well, you're not in Kansas anymore. Okay. Okay, Dorothy, just want to let you know that things have gone awry here. Okay. Anybody else? What is it? Oh, baking bread. Oh, yeah.
Cinnamon?
That's a good smell. Sawdust. That's a different but also good smell. Mowing hay.
Lemon pledge.
Lemon pledge. All of these smells I'm starting in my mind to smell simultaneously. And I'm with you. What if the story of everything is the story of a God who desires to make a home for himself and humanity to dwell together forever? That would mean that every arrow of longing that our hearts pull back are rightly aimed at the hope of an eternal home. Scripture begins with humanity living in a verdant paradise, a place devoid of sin and shame and full of life, a place where the Lord comes and walks among his children in the cool of the evening. But as a result of our rebellion, we were cast out and left to wander about this pale blue dot. And since the fall, all of humanity has been on a journey of the nomadic refugee life. But God's desire never changed. His desire to create a home to dwell with his children forever didn't change. And so God begins to try to find a way to live with his people once more. If you recall the call of Abram in Genesis 12, the Lord calls Abram into relationship with these words. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." The reminder that God's attempt to call a people to himself and to dwell in their midst and to make his home in their presence didn't stop just because we chose to rebel. And the great reminder of the call of Abram is before it's a call to anything else, it's a call away from something. Abram's call first and foremost was to what? To leave where he's been dwelling. Why? Well, because we have this eternal longing for home that can only be found fully in God, we tend to make our ramshackle shanty houses without him. But without him, maybe the smells and the sights make us nostalgic. But without him, we're still wandering. We're still lost. We're still expats looking for our home country. We keep running away to live in the brokenness of the world. God wants to go with us, to walk alongside us, to be everywhere that we are, but we really want God to stay put. When he rescued the Israelites from Egyptian captivity, God dwelt among his people in a tabernacle. But very soon after in their history, they decided they would prefer him to live in a temple instead. Do you appreciate that subtle difference? A tabernacle goes with you. It's portable. A temple, we pour the foundations and we know exactly where it's going to be this time next year. And I'm sure you would never do something like that. I'm sure you would never confine the Lord to a place or a time on Sunday morning and go about your lives living as if that he does not want to be with you every second of the day, only to return a week later into God's house to be with him. I know that's not you. But this tension of us longing for home and God longing to make a home in our midst and our inability to stop running away from him even though he wants to make camp in our midst, God finally chooses to go ahead and come himself. And I love the Gospel of John in chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to share two translations of the same verse. One is a very literal translation and one is a paraphrase, and I love them both. And the Word became flesh and did tabernacle among us. Or the Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. So last week, we were talking about the farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. Jesus telling his disciples that he's going to be killed. He's going to go away from them, but he's wanting to assure them. And the language and the image that he uses to assure them that they're not going to be left alone to fend for themselves, despite the fact that he's not going to be around for a while, is that he's going to prepare a place for them. And then he says the words we reflected on in part last week, that in his Father's house there are many rooms. There's this promise that one day God and his people will dwell together forever and ever. Amen? Okay, let's turn to the text of this week. Finally did it. We got there. John 14, picking up at verse 15. Jesus is continuing to encourage his disciples, and he says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." As I was spending time in John 14 these last few weeks, I noticed a pretty crucial difference in the places and spaces that Jesus is talking about. And I might be reading into this too much, and you know, you have your permission to roll your eyes at me, but at the beginning of the chapter, when Jesus is talking about going away to prepare a place for his people, he says that in his Father's house there are many rooms. But here towards the end of the chapter, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit indwelling us and then therefore us having access to both God and the Son and the Spirit simultaneously, he talks about them making their home in us, which made me start thinking about the differences between what is a house and what is a home. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but a house is a place of residence, but a home is a space of resonance, right? It's a space where you know you belong. It's a space where you know you're loved. It's a space that you feel intricately a part of the way things are because the relationships around you all are affirming one another and relying on one another. And, you know, I've just been sentimental this week. And I've been thinking of different places where I've lived. I brought some pictures for you. Here's the first place I ever lived. Look at that. Wow, fancy. Ooh, ah. Little two-bedroom house in the middle of Pennsville, Ohio. When I moved from our farm that I spent the next 12 years of my life at, we moved into this little double-wide trailer. Isn't that cute? That's my dog, Pete, in the front yard. His name's Pistol Pete. And my parents got me him when I was 6 months old. And he lived until I was 16. And toward the end, he smelled really bad. But there he is, looking pretty great. This is the first house Lee and I ever lived in. I don't know if you recognize that. It didn't look like at the time we were living there. But we lived in the 710 house across the street from Park Street Brethren Church as a legacy of caretakers and stewards who all work here, by the way. I don't know if you realize that, but the first people who lived there to help with college ministry were Tony and Jillian Van Dyne. And then after a while, Leah and I moved in, and the people that replaced us were Cameron and Sarah Johnson. So I didn't know if you guys were previewing future staff at the time. But we tore it down because we needed to. It wasn't sound structurally anymore. It wasn't serving the purposes that our church needed it to anymore. And now, in that space, we have a what? A community garden. that connects us to our neighborhood and ways that we can serve and do life together. Here's the house I currently live in. I made sure to mow before I took this picture so it didn't look like I was also farming a dandelion field. But that's not my home either. That's the house I live in. Here's my home. Until God calls you to his Father's house, he wants to tabernacle with you. And why is it a house and not a home at the beginning of John 14? Well, it's because you're not there yet. All of his children haven't been gathered up. We haven't been redeemed and glorified yet. We're still waiting in the in-between. From here until eternity, you and I still got to do some camping. But God wants to be in our midst. And in this morning's passage, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, interrupts to say, Jesus, you want to make yourself known to the world. Why are you only telling us? And Jesus' reply is, oh, the world will see you in me. I'm going to take up residence in your heart. I'm going to make my home in your midst. They'll know that I am in your life because you obey my Father's commands and you seek the Spirit's leading and you surrender your will to your Father in heaven and say, not mine, but your plans and kingdom. And goodness be done. I know I'm not the first person to tell you this. Church is not a place, it's a people, right? One of the things that happens when we build things is we keep fooling ourselves to think, now we're all done, right? Got that built. Now we can move on to the next project. So next week, we're gonna be in this brand new building. Woo, it's gonna be nice. I can't wait for you to see it. But make no mistake, that's just a really well-built and long-lasting tent. Yes? Eventually, it will erode and corrode and crumble, and some pastor, Lord bless them, whoever they are, will have to sell a new community on the importance of why we might need to tear down that old, moldy building and start something new. I'm really praying Jesus comes back before then. I don't know about you. But if not, that's their problem to deal with. It's just reflecting on all those houses that I lived in over the course of these 37 beautiful years. And if asked the question, would I like to go back? The answer, perhaps surprisingly, would be, well, no, because my people don't live there anymore. This is the family of God. Amen. And it's our sincere hope that you feel connected to this place, not because you enjoy the spaces, but because you feel a resonance among the people as we seek the will of Jesus Christ together. We hope that we can encourage you on your pilgrim's journey to your eternal home. For now, we are the temple that the Holy Spirit lives in. So my encouragement to you this morning is, the longing we have for home and the smell of pledge and the sound of spring peepers, that's the right longing. Let it pull you forward into Jesus, who is even now preparing a place for you. And the other part is an encouragement. If you are going to be a residence of the Holy Spirit, please be a good host and try to pick up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And ask the Lord, is there anything in here that's not pleasing to you? Because you got to live here. And I might not be fully surrendered to what you have, but I know that you are really, really great at spring cleaning, and my heart might need some help. I'm so grateful for this church community, and I pray that for you, you would feel the sense of resonance. You would feel the sense that we are all together walking toward the goodness of the Lord. We saw some faces in that video, heard some voices that have already gone on. Let's keep the faith, walking in their footsteps, crossing our own Jordan rivers, and trusting the Lord for every step. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, forgive us for the times that we've been poor hosts of your indwelling Spirit. Forgive us the times where we have not obeyed your teaching, we have not kept your commands, we have invited you to live in a disordered house. Help make us clean. Help put our priorities in the right order. Help remind us that when this earthly tent perishes, we will have an eternal building made by God, and that what is mortal will be swallowed up by what is immortal. For now, remind us that it's challenging sometimes to live as strangers and aliens in this world, and yet we believe that we are walking toward you. Help us not to veer to the right or the left. Help us keep our eyes on you. May you receive all the glory and honor as we travel along the way. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Let's stand together and worship this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Receive this benediction. We pray no matter where you go, or where life takes you, or what valleys you must cross, or what hills you must climb, that you would know that you carry with you the very heart and the very home of God, and that from beginning until end, He is calling you ever forward to walk in faith and trust that all roads in Christ lead to home. We pray this over you in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen. Go in peace, church. We love you.